You are listening to NTC Messina's podcast, where our desire as the family of God is to simply know God, love one another, and make disciples.
Amen. Good morning, y'all. You guys doing all right? Man, I am so excited to be here today. It is truly an honor. I've been just having fun this morning. Wherever that young lady went that just preached, good word. Like, good word, yeah? So let me start off by saying real quick to Greg and Jessica, man, thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. As all of you guys already know, they are incredible leaders, very gifted leaders. But I think what's impacted me the most since I met Greg, I don't know, maybe 2 years ago, is really just this, not so much what they do, it's who they are. Right, their authenticity, their kindness, and their deep love for Jesus and one another. Truthfully, for me, in the world we live in, it's been a breath of fresh air. And I just want to know, can we take a moment just to put our hands together as a church family and to show them some love and appreciation? Amen. As Greg just mentioned, this is like a real rare occasion. I actually have my wife with me today. We've been married 21 years. We have 6 children, and that range all the way from tomorrow, 18 years old, all the way to 9 months. And so this is also rare in the sense we have 3 boys, 3 girls. All the boys are at home. It's me and the ladies on this trip. So I've been outnumbered hardcore. So anyways, y'all ready for the word? Amen. So let me check what time it is here. Over the past few weeks, you guys have been in this fantastic series called Stronger Together, and I've had the chance to listen to almost all of those messages. And I have to tell you today, as I've listened, I've been really encouraged, really challenged, and it's been so good to be reminded of how much we as the body of Christ really need one another. And I hope as you've been hearing these messages that you've been feeling the same thing. Now, for the past 2 weeks, we know that the focus has primarily been on marriage, and today we're going to keep running in that direction. And so let me maybe say this quick in case you're here and you're not married and you're like, oh God, another one. Listen, these things we're going to talk about today, just simple thoughts. I'm going to be really practical, really vulnerable with you today. I believe this stuff travels, meaning that it'll work in any relationship, even though I'm going to talk to couples, okay? So as Greg mentioned a few weeks back, obviously biblically we understand that when God created Adam, he didn't step back and go, that'll do. Like God saw something was missing. He saw that it wasn't good for man to be alone, and so he created Eve. In fact, the Bible tells us that he put Adam asleep, took a rib, and ladies, I just want you to know, the next time you're frustrated with your husband, the Bible never says that God woke Adam back up. That's our problem, okay? So anyways, so listen, when God put Adam and Eve together, obviously he gave us the gift of marriage, but not just marriage, also the gift of family. So from the very beginning, God created inside of our spiritual DNA, if you will, this deep longing for meaningful relationships, ones that are marked with connection, ones that are marked with belonging, trust, and safety. But here's what I want to tell you this morning. Let's be honest. Even though that was in God's original design, how many of you guys know that not everyone experiences those things? Like, especially when it comes to marriage. The reality is marriage can be one of the most fulfilling relationships, but it can also be one of the most difficult. And so let me just ask, in fact, if you can just wave your hand at me, how many of you guys know that not everybody's love story looks like one of those sappy Hallmark movies? Come on, don't you? I hate those things. I'll be honest with you. Listen, it's because every marriage is made up of 2 imperfect people. And no matter how much we love each other, at some point, we'll hurt and disappoint one another. It's just facts. It's inevitable, right? So every couple will face challenges, but what really matters, and please hear me, what matters is how will we respond? Because our response is what ultimately determines whether our marriage grows stronger, as we've been talking about, or to slowly begin to drift apart. It's our choice, nobody else's, it's ours. So listen, with that in mind, I wanna share a few key decisions that I hope will help all of us grow and help all of us have stronger marriages. But listen, before we dive into those decisions, I wanna briefly mention what I believe is the greatest decision we'll ever make as a married couple together. In fact, I would call this the cornerstone decision. It's found in a very familiar passage. It's Joshua chapter 24, says this in verse 15. It says, Joshua talking says, if it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the God which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in the land you live. It says, but as for me and my house, as for me and my spouse, we will serve the Lord. Listen, let's zoom out maybe for a second, catch the weight of what Joshua is saying here. In the chapter before this, we know that the Israelites had finally entered into a season of rest after years and years and years of war. Joshua's now 110 years old. He knows his time is drawing near. And so he gathers all the people and he simply begins to remind them of God's faithfulness. He tells them again, like, look, this is what he did for us in Egypt. This is what he did for us in the wilderness. This is what he's been doing for us all these years up to this very moment. And then like any wise leader, He brings them to not just a moment of reflection, but a moment of commitment, a moment of decision. And he says this, choose for yourselves this day whom you'll serve. And what I love about this is Joshua doesn't pressure them. He doesn't manipulate some response out of them. He simply says, this has to be your choice. Not mine, not Moses's, not your parents, not your friends, not Pastor Greg's. You decide. Will you serve the living God or not? Yes or no? And before they had a chance to respond, I love it, because Joshua leads the way and he says, that's for me and my house. We will serve the Lord. He puts this proverbial stake in the spiritual ground, if you will, in a response to people declare, we will serve the Lord too. You see, in that pivotal moment, Joshua understood something critical. Please hear me, because why I'm saying this. He realized that every other decision that they would make for the rest of their lives would flow through this one decision. Like, if they got this wrong, there's builders in the house. You know, if you get the cornerstone wrong, if you get this wrong, everything else is just going to kind of be off. Still holds true for us today, that every choice we make as couples, it needs to be filtered through the foundational truth that we said that we will serve the Lord, that we will do it His way and not our way. It's the cornerstone decision. So listen, with that in mind, let's turn our attention to, I'm just going to give you four real quick decisions I hope will make us stronger together. If you're taking notes, jot these down, please. Decision number one. In this marriage, we are deciding that one voice, somebody say one voice, that one voice matters most. See, whether we know it or not, man, we are always hearing voices from the culture, from our family members, from our friends, from our own thoughts. Thank you. I always wonder what they're trying to tell me when they give me that. Listen, we even hear the voice of the enemy. Some of these voices are good and some are not, but one thing is for sure, man, is that they're all competing for our attention and they're all trying to lead us somewhere. See, and here's what I think we often forget is that we're not the only ones in the relationship that's being persuaded by these voices. Like, it's so easy to get caught up in our own mental battles that we forget our spouse is fighting their own eternal war too. And see, that's why it's so important for us as a couple to value what Jesus said in John chapter 10. Please listen to this verse. He said, after he has gathered, talking about Jesus, after he's gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them. Somebody say them. It says, and they follow him because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Like, I love how many times it says them and they. And can I just maybe say, and hopefully I'm not pulling it too much out of context, but can I just say, as married couples, Jesus desires to lead both of us together. He wants to guide us as one under one voice. So with that in mind, let me just ask you, because you know, I've heard Greg say several times, this is a real church, so let's get real. What happens when we don't agree with our spouse on things like how we should save or spend our money, or how we should raise or discipline the kids, or you know, who does what around this house, or what if we can't get on the same page with intimacy or the same page of communication? What if we can't get on the same page in work and life balance or boundaries with the in-laws, where we spend holidays, like, or the thousand other things that we argue about so often? Like, when, not if, but when we find ourselves struggling to get on the same page, who determines how we navigate those real life issues? Are we going to listen to the culture? Are we going to listen to our, you know, that one friend that's been divorced 5 times and is currently living in the basement of their mama's house? Right? Or are we going to listen to our own thoughts to say, you know, if I'm the man of this house, she better do what I say. Or if I just nag him long enough, I think I can break his will. Or if I scream louder, argue better, right? Or cry harder, I'll get my way. Let's be honest, none of that works. Y'all hear? None of that works. All those approaches ever do is leave someone feeling hurt and disappointed. Someone always loses. So where's the solution? It's found in that cornerstone decision we talked about a few minutes ago. It's who's the leader of our home? Is it me? No. Is it my wife? No. I got a hint for some of y'all. It's not the kids either. Some of us let our kids rule us. That's wrong and out of order. Right? Listen, as a couple, we have decided that Jesus is the leader of our home. And so here's the real question when we hit those spots that will come. It's this, is what does Jesus have to say about this? We need to know it. What's his spirit speaking to us at this moment? Remember what he said a while ago. He said he walks ahead of us. And that means he already knows where he's taking us together. Like, and if he knows where he's leading us, then he also holds the answers that we're going to need when we get there. Right? After all, did he not say, if anyone lacks wisdom, all we got to do is ask? And if we ask, he'll give it to us, right? So maybe instead of fighting with each other, you know, for hours and hours and hours or weeks, maybe we should just stop and just go, you know what? Maybe we should pray and ask the Lord for guidance. So simple, but it works. Gang, here's why I think we need the voice of the Lord to be loudest in our marriages. It's because of this. Because when he leads, he always leads us to a place of unity, peace, honor, mutual love, and respect. He always leads us to be stronger together, right? But when we let the other voices become louder than God's, we get stuck in a cycle of division, frustration, strife, and self-centeredness. That voice always leaves us weaker together. So let me just plainly ask you, do you want to be stronger or do you want to be weaker? Let me give you a final thought here before we move on. Over the years, my wife and I have learned that the Holy Spirit inside of me will never disagree with the Holy Spirit inside of her. Listen, the Holy Spirit will never tell us two different things. Right? So listen, if we're not on the same page, somebody's not hearing right. And it takes humility to admit that. It takes humility to go, you know what, let me lay aside my desire, my want, my personal selfish agenda for a moment, and let me go actually and get with the Lord. Let me give him space to speak. And if we do that, guess what? He will. Remember, he leads us together. Not running here and running there, but it's how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Amen? Decision number two. In this marriage, we celebrate one another's uniqueness. We celebrate one another's uniqueness. I'm just curious real quick, and maybe you can just kind of give me a little wave. Is there anybody in the room that married somebody that's completely different than you? There's like 5 of us. Come on, wave at me. Like you married someone like, my God, I know this person is so, yeah, hallelujah. There you go. My wife is like raising both hands. I don't know what to think about that. Anyways. But listen, I can't speak for anyone else, but I know for me and her, you know, she's from the Northwest, I'm from the South, so she says things like, yes, Mom, I say, yes, ma'am, right? She calls it pop, I call it Coke. She says, let's go to a show, I call those things movies, right? She says sliver, I say splinter. She grew up eating cream of wheat, I grew up on grits. Right, y'all, I'm here to tell you, we've been married 21 years and she still thinks cornbread comes out of a box. Y'all pray for me, right? Listen, she grew up singing Father Abraham and listening to Carmen. Man, I was raised on Guns N' Roses and Jimmy Buffett, right? So she was always in church, right? Loved Jesus. Man, I grew up, I didn't have a clue about either one. And so we couldn't have been raised any more differently. And because of that, we often process life and challenges completely different. Listen, and that's not even getting into our personalities, because that's where you really start rubbing each other wrong. She's full of mercy. I am so black and white, it's not even funny. She's in touch with her emotions. Most often, she probably thinks I'm more like the Tin Man. Wonder if I even got a heart, right? Listen, she's introverted. I'm not. She loves working alone. I enjoy working with a team. I love being early. She loves being late. If I said the sky is blue today, she would say, no, that's green. As my buddy from Ireland would say, we are chalk and cheese. I'll let you guess who's chalk and who's cheese. All right, anyways, I say all that to make this point. Really lean in with me here if you can. If we're not careful, those differences can frustrate us a lot. And over the years, here's something that I've learned, is that comparison, even between two spouses, will always breed criticism. Like, I'm honestly a little embarrassed to tell you this, but I want to be vulnerable so you can be vulnerable as well. But there have been times in our marriage when I've become so critical that I actually believed it was my duty as a husband to point out her faults. Don't judge me. I said I was embarrassed. Now listen, here's how this went down. There was times where I would see something that was different. I'm comparing her to me, right? And so I would insult her, maybe give a verbal jab, maybe give a sarcastic remark or a passive-aggressive comment, a backhanded compliment or a mocking statement. I would use a judgmental tone or an opinion. Maybe I'd roll the eyes really big or give a deep sigh. Or my personal favorite is a good old self-righteous lecture. Right? Can I just ask, because I feel so judged right now. anyone else ever been guilty of being critical with your spouse? Yeah, good. I'm not alone. Phew. All right. Now, here's what all of us that raised our hand, here's what we know, is that we didn't mean any harm. We just think, man, if they would just listen to us, take some advice, a little bit of coaching, their lives could be so much better. Right? Like, I mean, we could really fix them. I mean, we could really help them if they would just admit that our way is better. I'm really getting judged. I can tell. It's awesome. The problem is this, is that when we criticize our spouse, we're not just devaluing them, but we're asking them to lay down their God-given uniqueness. Think about Psalm 119. It says this. It says, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully or uniquely made. Your works are wonderful. I know that fully well. Can I tell all of us that lifted our hands a while ago, that's not just talking about us. That's talking about our spouse too. They are uniquely made in the image of God too. And what happens is the enemy wants to come along and convince us that all of our differences, man, that they contradict each other. But God's Spirit wants to come along and say this, no. Your uniqueness, through your uniqueness, you complement and you complete one another. Think about this. If God wanted you to marry someone just like you, he wouldn't have sent your spouse to you. Maybe I should say that again. If God wanted you to marry someone just like you, let me say it this way. He had sent you in a dress or you in a flannel. But he didn't do that. He sent someone completely different from you because he had a plan in mind. So here's something I've been trying to remember lately, because to be flat out honest, I can struggle with this. It is simply this, is that if comparison opens up the door for criticism, then gratitude must close it. Like, I found in my own life, it's impossible to be critical and truly grateful at the same time. So let me give you an example. I can't tell you how many couples have come to me for marriage counseling over the years. I know you're thinking after what you just heard why they would come, but there we go, okay? But I always know that it's going to get really interesting when they walk through the door of my office and they immediately go sit on opposite ends of the couch. like as far away from each other as humanly possible. And when I asked, hey, what's going on? Suddenly, I'm telling y'all, it's like two five-year-olds sulking on the playground. He did this, she did that. Well, if he hadn't, if she just, right? Like they can get downright nasty with one another. It's like somehow I disappear and they just start manifesting, right? And once they're finished verbally beating each other up, there's been times I've literally said, okay, time out. And I'm telling you, it's hilarious. They emotionally retreat to their corners, licking their wounds, like they're about ready to get, you know, geared up for round number two. And that's when I'll say something like this. Guys, I can understand why you both feel, you know, hurt. I'm sorry you're walking through this, but the good news is I really believe that you can make it through this if you allow Jesus to help you. And then I'll add this. Please listen. I'll say, I know neither of you got married expecting to end up right here. Like you never thought you'd be in this spot. So can you tell me about when you fell in love? Can you tell me when you met what you admired about each other? And I'll say something like this. You've done a really good job beating the junk out of each other for about the last 30 minutes. But can you tell me what you actually like about him? Can you take a moment, tell me what you like about her? Guys, it's so wild. Like, it only takes a few minutes, but as they begin to remember and begin to voice, like, their tones soften, their body language relaxes, they start scooching toward each other on the couch, they'll reach out, they'll start holding hands, they'll get tears in their eyes, they'll start leaning into one another, a smile starts to return to their face. It's like completely different people. Well, what just happened? 30 minutes ago, they were ready to file for divorce, right? But now they look like two people that actually might love each other. And I can promise you, it's not because I'm some great counselor, because I'm not. It's because gratitude has a miraculous way of shifting our hearts. Are y'all with me? Listen, here's the truth. It is, no one wants to be married to a critic. Nobody. But every single one of us in this room want to be married to someone who's grateful that we're their husband or we're their wife. Amen? Amen? Amen. It's, in my opinion, God gave us different strengths and different weaknesses so that we would recognize our need for our spouse. Right? And so the best way I think we can celebrate one another's uniqueness is that we actually learn how to lean into each other's strengths while we learn how to lean away from each other's weaknesses. We learn how to lean into the things that complete us and lean away from the things that contradict us. So how about this today? If we can just kind of make a mental note that our goal is going to be, instead of tearing one another down, we're actually going to choose to express appreciation. We're going to speak words of affirmation and affection, that we're going to encourage, that we're going to support one another, cheer one another on. Like, can you imagine, please hear me, can you imagine how different we would feel and how different our spouse would feel if we would just do that one thing? Let me give you two verses before we move on. Proverbs 12 says this: there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Let's bring healing. Ephesians 4 says this. It says, let no corrupting or worthless talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Y'all are quiet. All right. As important as I know that is, I also know that not every conversation in marriage is going to, feel like a pep rally, that there's going to be times we have to have hard, difficult, heart-to-heart conversations, and that's okay. In fact, it's healthy. But listen, when that comes, right, before it comes, I think there's a few things we need to settle in our heart. And here's decision number three. It's simply this, that in this marriage, we will not be defensive. Proverbs 18:13, y'all listen to this verse. I'm telling you, man, Proverbs will slap you in the face. It says, he who answers before he hears the facts, it is folly and shame to him. Have you ever noticed how often when our spouse brings something to our attention, our first reaction is to cut them off and get defensive? Anybody ever done that? It's like almost instantly we try to justify our actions. We try to make excuses. And we say things like this: well, you do it too? Well, that's not what I meant. Well, I was just having a bad day. Come on, you're overreacting. And in my opinion, you know, this kind of defensiveness has derailed more growth in marriages than most of us realize. But here's what we often miss is this, is that defensiveness is usually fear in disguise. Why do we get defensive? Because we're really afraid of being misunderstood. We're afraid of being accused. We're afraid of falling short. We're afraid of not measuring up. We're afraid of being rejected. So we throw up this emotional wall, not necessarily to shut our spouse out, but to protect ourselves. But here's the problem. When that wall goes up, guess what? We also keep growth out. Again, I can't speak for anyone here, but here's how this has played out in my life. My lovely wife, who loves me more than anybody on the planet, comes to me and she tries to express, you know, what's in her heart concerning our relationship. But instead of me really listening to her heart, I immediately get defensive, which of course makes things matters worse, because being defensive never de-escalates an argument. All it does is it makes her throw up her wall, and now she's defensive too. I'm telling you, I'm about to step into some of y'all's bedrooms right here. At this point, we're no longer talking about the original issue. We're just fighting about how we're fighting. The real issue, it got buried 30 minutes ago, only to resurface a month later. Right? Listen, here's what happened to me a little over a year ago. After we had one of those moments, and for us, they always happen like 1:30 in the morning. I guess it's easier to wear a guy down when he's tired. I don't know, right? I'm kidding. So, but a little over a year ago, we had one of these moments, and she went to bed, right? She said, I'm going to sleep. She's crying. She's hurt. She's disappointed. And I go out into our dining room, and to be honest with you, man, I'm hurt, but I'm also angry. And as I sat down, I was absolutely convinced that God was on my side. Like, me and God, we're on the same page on this one. She needs to get in line, right? By the way, she's right way more than I am. So I'm not, y'all work with me. Don't get mad at me, ladies. So here's what happened. I sat down, and about a month before that, the Lord told me to read a book. And so I flipped open the book exactly to the page it was at. And here's what I read. Finally, one night, I went upstairs to my study to be alone with God after one of our unproductive conversations. I was really worked up inside. The Lord spoke to me. I figured he would take my side, but I was wrong. He wasn't interested in sides. He was interested in mature followers with healthy souls. I was interested in the alleviation of my pain. God was interested in transformation of my heart. And the author went on to say this. He says, God said, I don't want you to defend yourself anymore. I thought, really? That's one of my best tools. And then God said the problem was that basically it wasn't that. The problem was that defensiveness was preventing me from life change. Y'all, when I read that, I immediately like just repented of my pride and my awful attitude. But here's what happened. In that moment, the Lord took me to a verse. Like I read that and instantly I thought about Joshua 5. It says this, and it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? Lord, I need to know, are you for me or for Jennifer? Right? So he said, neither. Listen, when we walk with Jesus, I want to help somebody out. When we walk with Jesus, we need to remember that we don't have to protect ourselves. He's our defender. He loves us. We're secure in his love. And so when we feel ourselves getting defensive, instead of acting like that, how about let's pause and pray and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm loved. I thank you that I'm secure. I understand what they're saying right now doesn't change my value and my worth, right? Help me to listen and help me to respond in love and mercy and not out of fear. And then what happens after we walk away from that conversation, we say things like this, Lord, I need to know where there was truth in that, because there's probably some truth. And now I need you to tell me what I need to do with that truth. Remember, he's in charge, not us. So listen, we're gonna follow his way. And remember what he said about his way in Proverbs 15:1. He simply said this, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Y'all okay? Yeah, I don't have time to go on the last point. Can y'all stand to your feet, please? The last point was simply this. It's tied in with it, but it's like that we're going to choose not to play the blame game. If you don't mind, can you please just close your eyes? You know, I really don't know how this is landing today, but I do know this, that if you've been married more than a week, you probably got something to forgive. And so here's the four decisions that we really talked about, is that in this marriage, man, one voice matters most, and that's the voice of Jesus. Number two is we celebrate one another's uniqueness, not criticize it. Number three, it will not be defensive, but we'll listen, respond, and love. And the last one that we didn't get to is really this. We'll not play the blame game, but we'll take ownership. Because it's hard to receive healing when you're fighting for the victim seat in a marriage. So listen, I realize that I'm saying all this. None of it's easy. But I do believe it's possible with God's help. Listen, every strong marriage or every strong relationship, it's never built on perfection, but it's always built on humility and intentionality that says, Jesus, we want you to lead the way. We want your way, not ours. So help us follow you. And I believe if we make that cornerstone decision that we say, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord, that all these other choices won't just be nice ideas, but they'll actually be tools to help us be stronger together. Amen. So here's what I simply want to say, and I'm gonna give the mic to Greg, to Bishop Friar Greg. Is I think it's simply this, that today, wherever you're at, if you've been married 5 months, you've been married, you know, 50 years or 60 years, that today this is a good space. The presence of the Lord is here. It's a good space to just say again to the Lord, simply say this, Lord, we want to build our marriage your way. Would you help us, please? We want our relationships to be built your way. If there's anything that we need to adjust, help us adjust. Help us to admit what we need to admit, because we can't change what we won't admit. Amen? Amen. Thank you all for letting me share today. God bless you.
So this is what we're going to do right now. We have our worship team. They're going to play a song in just a moment, and Are people ready to pray? Our altar call teams, if you could just come to the front right now. I want to take a moment and allow a space. If you're in this room and kind of the line that I'm thinking, you know, even as Quentin preached at the beginning that said that first decision is the most important one. The one that says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And I think there might be some people in here, even if you're not married, right? There's that individual decision that says, I have to make a decision. Who am I going to serve? Now, I think as Americans, we don't like to admit, but the truth is every one of us serves something. We do. It might be our job and our reputation. It might be success. It might be the things the world offers. But at the end of the day, we do choose to serve something. And I would say, maybe today you want to change that and choose to serve Jesus. And so if you're in this room and you're saying, man, I've never made that decision, this is a moment to decide, as for me, I'm going to serve the Lord. And our teams are ready to pray with you, and I'm going to pray, and you could come to the front and receive prayer and make that decision together. But maybe you're in this room and you've decided that for yourself, but you're in a relationship, you're in a marriage, and you're hearing everything Quentin's teaching and preaching, and you know it's hitting home, and you're just saying, I've got something has to shift in me, and I've got to make this decision. I'm going to allow every decision of my life, every decision of my marriage, to go through the filter that we want to serve God, that we want to serve Him. And that would begin to change what your relationship is like. And so I'm going to pray, and then the front is open, and the team is going to worship, and we'll end together in that way. Father, we thank you that you're in this place. God, we thank you for challenging our hearts. Holy Spirit, we don't want to push off conviction, God. We want to actually receive it so that we have a heart of repentance, God. Repentance just simply means that we're going to have a mindset change and a direction change, that we're going to go in a different way. And God, we want to go your way today. God, even as Carissa said, that you would lead us in paths of righteousness. God, we want to be led down the right path of our life, in our marriage, in our decisions. And so, God, we commit in a fresh way to you that we want to walk with you. And we give you that time in Jesus' name. Amen. Come receive prayer as the worship team leads us.
Thank you for listening to NTC Messina's podcast. We hope you join us next week and have a blessed day.